to episode 30 of season 10 of Movie Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again to finish off this week is Bubbly Dove. It's time to rewind, among many other things. Welcome back to the show, Bubba.
It's good to be back.
Yeah. It's nice to have you back. Kaz is happy that you're here, because he's getting a little bit lonely in the tunnel. So we'll have to see what he's going to do about that. Maybe today, maybe next week, who knows? And Kaz, you know, walks through we ended things yesterday with Kaz berating Danny Doyle for not going down with the ship, and you know, he continues wading through all of these passengers, and basically the line after him saying you're supposed to go down with it, so one of the hostage passengers screams out, and he goes, "Oh, you lady butt out." So, do you know where the term horse comes from?
No, not off the top of my head, although I wouldn't be surprised if I have heard it before, because one other podcast that I'm a fan of is The Illusionist, and that show is about, you know, grammar and word origins, and I think they, as of recording, they've been going through like a series on four-letter words, including, you know, the you know, some of the popular swear words. Mm-hmm. So they might have covered that one, but I don't remember any details off the top of my head right now.
Okay, so horse is a near synonym for bullshit, which basically means that whatever you're saying is nonsense, rubbish, bunk. According to the Merriam-Webster, the first known use of it was in 1923. And obviously it's related to the literal sense of horse manure, which was something that people had to deal with in urban areas in the 19th century. And so the idea that there are buildings that are known as brownstone, and there are a lot of people who think that is directly linked to the fact that that there's horse manure all around, and that's why it was called brownstone. But that was actually debunked, not true. It at some point was also had the meaning of something that's either a trouble or misfortune, which doesn't really make that much sense to me. But whatever. It actually, just talking about this just reminded me of an anecdote that I just read recently. I just finished reading the book Oscar Wars, which chronicles all of the behind the scenes battles that were waged, over the Oscars, among Hollywood insiders for decades, you know, from the beginning of the Oscars all the way there. So one of the chapters that I was reading was about the whole controversy between Saving Private Ryan and Shakespeare in Love. And apparently one of the producers of Shakespeare in Love, Ed Zwick, Harvey Weinstein didn't really want him to be there, but they had made a deal that he needed to still give him credit. So he gave him credit, and his on-screen credit is under on screen itself, there is a pile of manure that's on the ground. And Zwick believes to this day that was done on purpose, because, you know, you're getting the credit, but you don't have a say as to where it's going to be. So, you know, that us talking about horse manure made me remember that.
Yeah, and I just recently watched a stand-up comedian performance that was talking about, you know, and not the horse part, but just the, you know, just the word and how versatile of a word that is, because it can have so many different meanings depending on the context. And how it can mean a positive thing depending on certain context and a negative thing. Like,
Wait, I think I've seen this. Who did you remember who the comedian is?
it was someone. He was I think Eastern European. He had an accent. I don't remember his name. I just kind of randomly found it on Facebook within the past few days or so. And it was pretty funny. I mean, because it's like it's negative because you can say he she's your but I'm the and that's
Bingo, which is a good thing.
yeah. I just, like I said, I just found like, the algorithm showed me a clip of it on social media, so.
possibly copied from George Carlin, which would make sense
Yeah.
because or it's a revised version of George Carlin stuff. That's probably why it sounded familiar because that is something that Carlin would have done.
It wouldn't surprise. It's been a long time since I've heard it, but yeah, the seven words that you can't say.
Right. Someone says I'm reading a comment here that says that Carlin was talking about stuff. He used the word stuff for everything. Kaz is wading through everybody, and then he screams to Denny, and he goes, "Tell Command Center, I'll be on my way to investigate." And Denny says, "I wouldn't go there if I was you." And he goes, "I know you wouldn't." So again, Kaz, he doesn't mince words. He's a guy who knows that, he knows who he is. He knows who Denny is. The problem is he doesn't know what's going on here. And as he's wading through these passengers, and there are a lot, so one of them goes, "You work for the subway, mister? Tell them I'm gonna sue. I'm gonna sue their ass off." And people start, making a lot of noise as continues down the tunnel. He basically, somewhat curses the guy out with the way that he makes all these different hand gestures with the whole thing. Then we're back in the train itself, and Blue has picked up the radio once again and goes, "Palom 123, the command center. Do you read me? Are you ready to take down our list of demands now?" And then Corel, we see him on the other side with Garber getting ready, for something, trying to figure something out here. Paying attention to everything that's going on. And he goes, "I'm listening, you animal. What do you want?" And he goes, "Do you have a pen?" He goes, "Go on, for Pete's sakes. To begin with, it's important you understand three things. One, Palom 123 is completely within our control. Two, we are all armed with automatic weapons. Three, we have no scruples whatsoever about killing. You understand me so far?" "I understand you fine, you lunatic. You'll never get away with this, you know?" And then he says, "Please inform the mayor that we demand 1 million cash for the release of the car and all the hostages." Right? So again, he's giving his demands to the whole thing. And they're asking for $1 million in 1974. Again, I'm assuming you've seen Austin Powers, where they make a big joke out of that whole thing about asking for only $1 million. But what do you think $1 million from 1974 is worth in 2025?
See, 50 years, that's I feel like that's a pretty big jump. I would guess maybe around 25 to 30 million.
No, it is currently 6,543,819, which is a 554% jump between over the 51 years since this movie came out, which is still pretty impressive, that it jumped. It's now worth $6.5 million. It would have been strange if he asked for $6.5 million, but in the 2009 remake, so the amount of money is not $1 million. It's a specific amount that John Travolta's character is interested in getting. This character asks for $10 million, so he's actually asking for more than what they're asking for here. Some and again, that movie came out 16 years ago, so it's not exactly the halfway point, but it's a little beyond the halfway point with that whole thing. Once again, the continuity here is great because we see the clocks in the command center, and they now all say 2:15. So I'm actually really impressed with the continuity aspect there,
Nice.
because this time is going by slowly, but someone is really paying attention to how they're timing everything. You should time to rewind this. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about this minute or about the movie in general?
I did notice that Garber pulls a quite possibly a pack of Altoids out of his jacket to eat a mint about halfway
Yes.
through,
Yes, he does.
because it very much still looks like the the typical Altoids packaging with the little metal case and the little flap of paper in there.
Yeah. Are Altoids for like heartburn? Is that like a Tums type of thing,
No,
or?
it's just a breath mint.
Yes. Okay, you're right. It is a brand of breath mints that was created in the 1780s. Oh my God, I'm like shocked at how they've had Altoids out around for 245 years, and there
Wow.
are 406 different variations of Altoids. Wow. The main flavors are peppermint, wintergreen, spearmint, cinnamon, and strawberry. I'm trying to think if I've ever had Altoids. I mean, I've had obviously things that are similar, but interesting. And the tins that they created are were the idea was that you can reuse them for other purposes. People use Altoid tins for first aid or mini survival kit containers. Interesting. And they're known as boats, bug out Altoid tins. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, so that's the that's a good catch. I didn't notice that he was taking out that case of Altoids. Nicely done. Nicely
Yeah,
done.
I haven't bought very many packs of Altoids, but I think I have bought one or two, and I'm familiar with them. And that case is, very instantly recognizable, and it's also one of those things that hasn't changed in a long, long time. So seeing it in the
Well, if
70s.
it works. If it works for 245 years, don't
Well,
knock
I
it.
mean, these days you would imagine that they would opt for cheaper packaging, that it's something less expensive than a metal tin. Uh,
That's true.
but but as for the rest of the movie, I think I've hit my thoughts upon the movie as a whole throughout this week. So I don't think I have really much else to add. It's a great movie, and I'm glad I got an excuse to watch it.
Do you foresee ever wanting to watch it again in the future? Or once you've seen it and you know the things, and then it's not necessary.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I've never been a huge movie rewatcher, because I don't have as much time for movie consumption as I used to.
You have so many different projects that you're working on at the same time.
Yeah, there's that too. So I often, opt for a newer movie rather than revisiting a movie that I've already seen.
Okay, fair enough.
Even though sometimes, like I was just telling my chat group recently that I do occasionally try to like start a movie project and then fail very quickly, because I noticed that I've rewatched the first, Star Wars: The Phantom Menace 3 times in the past 10 years or so. And it's always been with the intent of doing a Star Wars marathon, but I have yet to make it to the second movie in that marathon.
Have you seen Attack of the Clones or not?
I've seen all except for the 8 and 9.
Okay. Got it. Okay, truth is I'm a big fan of Attack of the Clones. I really do enjoy it. I know a lot of people out there don't like it, but I like the mystery and the turning Obi-Wan into somewhat of a detective. I like that aspect of it. All right, excellent. So every Friday we have a segment called Fun City Friday, which my guests will give their top five movies that feature New York City. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
All right. I do have a list of five. This one was kind of hard for me to put together just because the list is so huge of movies to choose from. But I think I'm gonna go with I'll say my number five is gonna be Big. That's always a fun movie. I don't need to talk about that too much. Number four, I'm going to go with Gremlins 2, The New Batch. I love the meta humor of that and the silliness of them, ending that movie with the big musical number of the Gremlins singing New York, New York.
Right.
My number three, I'm going to go in a completely different direction as, really the most of the rest of this, my list here. And I'm going to go with Uncut Gems. I watched that movie
Interesting.
for
Okay.
the first time, whenever I was doing 50 First Dates. I ended that season covering a bunch of Adam Sandler movies, and that was one of them. And that, like, I knew it was a tough watch, but it was really more than I'd hoped for. And it's just really a fascinating movie, and it's worth watching. But it's also one of those movies where it's like something's about to happen, and it keeps getting delayed, and especially Adam Sandler keeps making stupid choices, and it's like you're rooting for him, and then he does something, and it's like, why are you doing that? That is the absolutely worst thing that you could do in this situation. And then my number two, I'm going to go with Spider-Man 2, which I felt like I had to include a Spider-Man movie because they are all set in New York, and he is very much a superhero that's tied to New York City.
I thought you weren't really a superhero fan, so I'm surprised.
But Spider-Man 2, the original Raimi one is still my favorite. And then my number one, you should be familiar with this movie, is When Harry Met Sally. I think, I put it on my list as my number one for romantic comedies in general. That is near the top of my list for romantic comedies overall, and it's a very New York movie.
Right. There's again, I've talked about it. I talked about it a lot. So yes, I would agree with that sentiment that is definitely a New York movie. But we can go back and see what you said about romance movies. Okay, your number five was 500 Days. Your number four was The Mexican. Your number three was Annie Hall. Oh, sorry, Amelie. Sorry, Amelie. Your number four, your number two was Heartbreaker. And your number one was When Harry Met Sally. There you go. You're right. Your memory serves you well. It was also my number one for rom-coms. Okay, excellent. All right, and we will now play for the final time this week. Name that remake. So let's spin the wheel and see what Bubba gets this time. And there we go. The wheel is spinning, going around and around and around, and we'll see what he gets. Is it going to be something that he's familiar with? Okay. This is a movie that came out in 1950 and was remade in 2003. And it's all about a couple who have a lot of children and need to deal with the daily aspects of running a household with so many children.
That one cheaper by the dozen.
Yes, very good. Very good. I thought you
Haven't
were going to go
that.
the other. There's, yeah, no, I was going to say there's another similar movie which I like even more, called Yours, Mine, and Ours, which is still on the wheel. Someone will get it, hopefully, or
Yeah,
they're
I
going to have to figure
remember.
it out.
I haven't seen either, but I remember Tom Welling was in the remake from Smallville.
Yes. And he does not play Clark Kent. Unfortunately, you don't see that much of Tom Welling these days.
No.
It's actually somewhat disappointing because I really liked him in Smallville. I
Yeah.
thought he played the character really well. And I recently saw Draft Day again, and I was shocked that he was in it. And he played like a top quarterback. So. Very interesting.
Yeah, it seems like the only Superman actor that's that really had much of a career afterwards would be Henry Cavill.
Yes. True. And that remains to see. Hopefully it'll last a long time. Hopefully. Right. So for one final time this week, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Bumblebee?
Sure, I still have more projects to talk about, and Friday is I'm talking about my musical projects, and I have a music podcast that comes out every other Friday called Lyrical Innuendo, where me and my co-host Nick Rehak talk about a different song each episode. And we dig into the lyrics of that song and really break them down, dig into any hidden meanings that might be present, and make a final verdict on whether they are about sex, drugs, or just rock and roll, which includes anything that does not include the first two options. And it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that. Nick is a great host, great co-host, and he's been on this show several times as well.
Yes. Nick is definitely a friend of the show. Yes. And I love listening to lyrical innuendo. Unfortunately, you guys, because of Nick's new parental hat, so things you guys have a lot less episodes that have been released recently. So.
Yeah, we are back in the saddle, and we've been releasing episodes fairly consistently the past 2 or 3 months. So hopefully
Okay.
that
One great.
continues.
I was listening last week to your episode about the Summer '69 with from Bryan Adams, and I was yelling at my phone because you guys couldn't remember the name of the actors, the name of the singers, the three singers who were in who did All for Love for the Three Musketeers. I was like, Rod Stewart, Rod Stewart. And you're like, I think Sting's in it. No, it's not Sting. It's Rod Stewart, Sting, and Bryan Adams. There you Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moveaboutminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moveaboutminute@moveaboutminute.net. So, Baba, thank you very much for joining me this week. It's been a lot of fun. And once again, I'm very happy that I was able to expand your movie knowledge and give you another movie that you enjoy watching.
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. So I'll be back on Monday with a new guest. So everyone have a great weekend. And until then, at you.
Gesundheit.